Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda.
If you believe in yourself, you can accomplish anything. Let me and Deepak Chopra show you how.
Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now.
Welcome to this Friday's reflection, everybody. You know, I've been talking a lot recently about the Deepak Chopra and Oprah Winfrey meditation experience. It's a 21-day challenge. And what's really cool about it is that Oprah comes on and she talks about the topic of the day. And then Deepak Chopra comes on and literally teaches a lesson before the meditation begins that is so powerful, I'm actually typing notes into my phone. Things like talking about your true self, talking about how whatever you have going inside of you is what you put out into the world, and that the world is actually a mirror and it reflects everything that you put out comes back. So if you think that you are insignificant, if you think you are not important, if you think you are selfish, if you think you are anything, you put that out into the world treats you as if you are those things, and that's the feedback you get. One of the most profound things that I've learned from this meditation experience was that whatever you do put out into the world, if you want to change how your mind and your ego and you want to impact your true self, then you want to put out into the world what you want to be. And only the only thing that will help you change how you feel about yourself is going to be that positive feedback from the world. So if you're feeling insignificant and you put out into the world that you are significant, what's going to happen is people will treat you as if you are significant. And when that occurs, every time and over time, it chips away at those old feelings you used to have. Okay, so that's one of the most powerful things that I've learned so far from Deepak. Now, in relation to our topic for this week and the guests that we had on the show this week, today's reflection is going to be based on self-belief. Now, I read an article that Deepak emailed out to all of the participants for the meditation experience, and it was really so great that I wanted to share some of it with you. But I simply love every word of it. And so, Mr. Deepak Chopra, I'm going to share your article to my Motivate Me listeners with the hopes that we together influence more people to have belief in themselves. So the article title is How Belief Can Change Your Life. This is written again by Deepak Chopra. Everyday life is impossible without holding your own set of beliefs. Just because belief exists silently doesn't make it less powerful. Most people are guided by belief in the work they do, their religion, loyalty to their family, and all kinds of values they hold dear. But there's a problem when your beliefs start to gain the upper hand and get into the driver's seat. Much of the violent or crazy behavior in the world is associated with a deeply held belief in tribalism, religious fundamentalism, and us versus them thinking. That is actually imprisoning the people who are trapped in their beliefs. They have lost sight of two things. First, you are meant to be in control of your beliefs, not the other way around. Second, the switch that can create a new belief also creates a new reality at the same time. When enemies turn into allies, when frustration turns to fulfillment,
When being a victim turns into being strong and self-sufficient, the switch has been pulled and reality shifts. The most powerful beliefs are the ones I call core beliefs, because they tell you who you are. If someone deeply believes I'm a winner and someone else believes I am unlovable, the outcome of their core beliefs will be very different. It's critical to hold positive core beliefs and to activate them in your daily life. The more you activate your core beliefs, the more dynamic and transformed you really will be. There are four core beliefs that make the most difference: love, self-worth, feeling safe and secure, feeling whole. In everyone's heart, there is a belief about all four of these things, and this belief isn't always simple. Your entire life has shaped your core beliefs, while at the same time, your core beliefs have shaped your entire life. Take the area of love. Here are some possible core beliefs that someone can hold about love, either positive or negative. Negative beliefs: I am not very lovable. Love is temporary and fleeting. Love can easily turn to hate. Falling in love is a delusion, a kind of romantic insanity. Positive beliefs: I deserve unconditional love and also want to give it. Love is eternal. Consciousness itself contains the power of love. Human love can connect with divine love and rise to its level. As you can see, someone who holds the second set of beliefs will be happier and more fulfilled than someone who holds the first set. Given a choice, most people who read inspiring words about love have a "wouldn't that be nice" response. In other words, their personal life has brought them mixed experiences of love, neither all positive nor all negative. But core beliefs aren't simply a box of opinions you trot out and examine if you have the time. They are microchips, we might say, buried at some level of the mind, constantly sending out the message encoded into them. These messages don't change unless you bring your self-awareness in to change them. Left to themselves, microchips mechanically perform the same task over and over. So a young girl who believes I'm not very lovable is likely to grow up being an adult woman who thinks the same thing, because in the intervening years, the microchip has been beeping away, sending out the same message. Eventually, the girl's personal reality will conform to a negative belief, which in this case is about self-worth as well as love. If you want your life to change at the deep level of core beliefs, awareness is your most powerful ally. Here's a useful way to begin to change a core belief. Take one of the four areas: love, self-worth, feeling safe and secure, and feeling whole. Sit down with a piece of paper and make two headings: my positive beliefs and my negative beliefs. Now list all the beliefs you hold around this one topic, such as love. Don't restrict yourself. Write down any belief that comes to mind. Now return to your lists at least two more times in the following week. Add to the negative and positive side as your mind continues to cogitate. You will find that deeper beliefs take more time to surface. Now that your lists are complete, sit back and assess them. By each belief, put a mark. S equals strong belief. W, weak belief. U, uncertain or not quite sure belief. You are mapping out the territory of your core belief system, which is incredibly useful. Since this is your private communication with yourself, don't be ashamed to put down a belief you think is wrong or unacceptable. This is your time to take charge of all your beliefs. Now begin to foster change. Take one strong negative belief and one strong positive belief. As an example, the negative belief might be, I will only get love from a few people. And the positive belief, love can heal. Your task is to diminish the negative belief and reinforce the positive belief. This is a kind of brain training where you lay down new pathways of thinking and feeling. So in the case of these two beliefs, what steps can you take? I will only get love from a few people. To minimize this belief, you need to feel more secure about love outside your close-knit circle of family and friends. Tell yourself that this is possible. Just because only a few people love you now, that more won't love you if you seek their love. Start where it feels safe, like working in a shelter or helping underprivileged kids, an activity where you can see an immediate response of appreciation and gratitude, which are expressions of love. In general, be with people who are loving. They exist all around you. They may intensely love their work, their mission, their vision of life, other people, or the beauty of nature. There are infinite ways for love to express itself, and when you become involved with them, you become part of this love. Love can heal. To activate this belief and make it expand, there are two directions you can go in: healing yourself and healing others. They are connected, and it's good to focus on both as you grow and evolve. But you can only give the love you feel. So most people will first focus on healing themselves. This project begins with self-care, expressing love for yourself by adopting lifestyle choices in diet, exercise, sleep, and stress management that enhance your sense of well-being. Everything you do to care for body and mind is a form of self-healing based on loving yourself. Next comes self-compassion, which means being kinder and more forgiving of yourself. Then comes self-purification, the process of clearing out toxic residues from the past, old wounds, bad memories, and outworn conditioning. Finally comes communion with your higher self, which has always been the source of healing and love at the same time. I've looked at only two beliefs out of many, but the general process is the same for any belief, positive or negative, that you want to address. You consciously diminish negative input and consciously increase positive input. Setting up such a program ensures that your life will always be dynamic, because nothing creates change and transformation like gaining control over your core beliefs. As they evolve, so do you, moving ahead on a never-ending journey that is based on your deepest belief in who you really are. This is what's so amazing about Deepak Chopra. Deepak Chopra teaches you. If you really listen to what he's saying, it changes you. It changes how you view yourself, how you change the world. And not only that, he gives you action steps, things that you can do to ensure change. So, of course, my voice is not quite as soothing and dynamic as Deepak Chopra, but I hope I was able to translate for him this powerful message to you. Okay, that being said, we are going to pick up the energy a little bit, and we're going to look at this week's guest. So our first guest on Monday was Aaron Rosen. And Aaron is a high school English teacher in Jersey City, New Jersey. The thing about Aaron is for the last, I believe, 3 to 4 years, he has been getting involved and getting training that he is seeking out in all different forms of comedy. So when we talk about comedy, he's doing voiceover work, he's doing improv, he's doing stand-up, and he's taking classes and he's performing there and he's learning from his peers and learning from his mentors who are accomplished comedians themselves. Now, we all know if we are talking about self-belief, you must have confidence and self-belief in order to stand up in front of a group of people and do comedy. The question here is about Aaron. What motivates him to put himself out into the world? Well, I'm going to tell you, he said there is no greater feeling than to be standing up on a stage and command laughter from an audience of strangers.
and he believes himself capable and worthy to accomplish that. Let's look at Tuesday and Wednesday's guests. On Tuesday and Wednesday, we had a two-day episode on vision boards. Barbara Alexander kicked us off. She defined what a vision board is. She gave us step-by-step instructions on how to make one, and then she gave us examples from her own experience. And the same day on Tuesday, Hillary Constable came on, and she talked about how she uses vision boarding, okay? And she said that she really was on a mission to eliminate the word should from her life, and that is what actually inspired her to create a vision board, because she wants to stick with the words I will, want, or need. On Wednesday, guest Lauren Longcore kicked off part two of our episodes on vision boards. She actually has three vision boards that she's done at different times. She stapled them together. She has them on her wall. Matter of fact, she did post a picture for us, which is awesome, on our Motivate Me Ultimate Support System site. There is a thread where we're posting vision board pictures, and I promise to do one this weekend to get it up there. Here's what stands out to me about Lauren's vision boards. They're all based on health and body and eating right. Even the kitchen that she has on her board is something that she's aspiring to, because one of the things she likes to do is bake and even bake healthy recipes. Lauren uses her boards to bolster her own self-confidence, as well as how she hopes to inspire others as a health coach. Our next guest, Gina Tarantino, is the only guest who completed a vision board in a corporate setting. Now, I am sure if we polled many people who created vision boards in a corporate setting, we would have varying opinions about whether they A, enjoyed the process, B, found it worthwhile, and C, what did they get out of that? For Gina, she tended to incorporate things like serene settings and things that raised her energy level while at work. While other people may make a vision board at work in a corporate setting, that included maybe their aspirations within their job or material possessions. Chelsea Rathy was the next guest. And what was really neat about Chelsea's vision board is, number one, that she took a picture of it and made it her cover photo on Facebook so that she could consistently go back to it to keep her focus. And something we discussed that I thought was really neat about Chelsea's, and I know that Hillary is doing the same thing, is taking their vision board pictures and putting them into something that more resembles a scrapbook. The reason they're doing that is because it's very important for them to have a mobile vision board, something that they can take with them. And something I thought was really neat is if you have something that resembles a scrapbook and then you complete these things, you can actually add to it and make it an actual scrapbook. So our final guest was Michael Neely, who is the podcast host of Consciously Speaking. And he was talking to us about how vision boards play a part in his life. And he got married about 2 years ago. And so now it also is something that he and his wife do together to usher in the new year, to say, this is what we would like to accomplish in this year to come. Mike and I had a really cool conversation about how I have not yet done a vision board. And I promised that I would put one together this weekend and post it by the end of the weekend in our private Facebook group. I did make a realization throughout the conversations that I had with the six different people that we were talking to about vision boards about why I never constructed one for myself. And it really took me until my conversation with Michael to realize that I think I hit a soft spot within myself, which is keeping my goals private and to myself. And something that moved me about what Michael said was, if you show it to people, the more eyes that fall on it means that it is getting more exposure to the universe, because people are the universe. And that really made me think about how I want as many people as possible to see it, because the point of doing a vision board is to get what you want out to the universe so the universe can speak back to you. So where does all this talk on vision boards fall into line with today's topic, which is self-belief? Well, vision boards, what do we put on there? We put on there everything we want to achieve, anything we want to acquire, anything we want to become. We want to put out the energy that we want to receive back. And people use their vision boards as a map to help them stay focused. And the thing is, if you keep your vision board where you can see it on a consistent basis, you are mapping your brain to believe that you can achieve what it is that you have on that vision board. And you, whether it's conscious or subconsciously, will be striving to achieve these things. Thursday's guest. On Thursday, we had Lara Young, and she taught everybody a lesson, and it was a lesson in resilience. When it comes to resiliency, it's all about self-belief. Lara says there are four main pillars of resilience. The first one is purpose. Second is confidence. Third is community. And the fourth is adaptability. In order to follow your birth purpose, to find your purpose, you have to believe that you're capable of making this discovery within yourself. Secondly, confidence. You have to believe in yourself to be confident. Third one, community. You have to have self-belief within your community in order to accept the support that is given you. And the last one, adaptability. You have to believe in yourself that you have what it takes to be adaptable, to be flexible, and to identify when you need to pivot. If you have belief in yourself, you can bounce back from anything. Okay, so I'm going to talk about myself here for a moment, and I'm going to tell you that this last week has been a monumental one. I can't think of a time that I've had to dig quite as deeply inside of myself as I have this week. My life is moving forward at a rate that I've never experienced before. Our team here at Motivate Me made a decision this week to take part in a super exciting adventure that I can't wait to share with you. But I'm going to leave you with a thought from Deepak Chopra. Deepak says, to be successful in life takes belief and hard work. Trust me when I say, this new adventure that I'm going to take us all on takes a lot of belief and a lot of hard work. But you know what? I believe I can do it, and I believe it will be worth it. That's it for today, everybody. Thanks for checking in this Friday. And remember, you do motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.